The audio track you're about to listen to was recorded at South Perth Church of Christ in Western Australia. For more information, please visit our website at spcc.org.au.
Encourage you to turn to the outlines that you received. And this morning I'm going to be addressing most of my remarks from the book of Proverbs. So we encourage you to follow along out of that. You might remember a month or two back we started a series on developing healthier relationships. And this is actually the fourth in those series. We've had a few things that have come and gone during that time, Easter and other events. But this morning I want to focus on how we make relationships last. But as a background to that, we looked at releasing the past. We looked at increasing relationships' value by expressing appreciation to one another. And we talked about improving our hearing, learning to listen better, and to listen to one another in relationship and how that we might go about that. And today, I want to talk about this whole area of making relationships last and how do we build on that. Whether it's a friendship that we have with someone or whether it's in the marriage context, these principles certainly apply. Solomon, in his wisdom and reflections in the book of Ecclesiastes, says this: two are better than one because they have a good return for their work. If one falls down, his friend can help him up. But pity the man who falls and has no one to help him up. It's a great scripture. You know, if we wanted to summarize what Solomon was saying in that passage, he would be saying, if you want to have friends, you've got to be friendly. You've got to actually, in the context of that passage, be a friend to have friends. And I think some of us at times have fallen down at that particular point. And I'm well aware that in a group like this, as in any group, a collective group of people, there are people who can be lonely, even though we're in a large group of people in the context of this. And there are a lot of people in relationship who are lonely. There are a lot of men and women in marriage who are lonely, who don't really feel they have a soulmate that they can travel or journey life with. And God understood that. It was never his intention that we journey alone. He knew and recognized that it's not good for man to be alone. And I am so thankful that he did something about that. I think most of you are. I hope all of you are, actually, that God acted on that path. But I want to share just six principles this morning out of the book of Proverbs that help us or contribute to developing lasting relationships, relationships that last, and the kind of things that we need to be mindful of or be aware of. And one of the things that I've become increasingly aware of, I used to say regularly that women seem to make friends easier or better than men. And I think that still as a broad principle is true, but I have encountered and have met, I think, an increasing number of women who are lonely. Number of women who don't have close friendships and deep friendships. And I hope these principles will help. But I would say to the men, we need to really look at this area because often men are islands who stand on their own and we might have superficial relationships or friendships at work in different places. But God has always desired that we would push in to a deeper level. And I want to encourage you to consider that this morning and to keep in mind the fact that the majority of people come to Christ and come into a relationship with God because of a friendship of significance. Wynne Arn did a survey for many years and he said it was 95%. I found any time in an evangelism survey or context, if I do that survey, that between 90 to 95% of all people come to know Jesus because somebody in their life cared enough to build relationship with them, whether it was through the family or it was through a friendship, and as a result of that, people came to know Christ. Now, what does that say? It says that we've got to build friendships. It says that we've got to build relationships that are going to last, that are just a little beyond the superficial. And it's really important that we do that. And those friendships take time. It's not an instant matter, is it? That people suddenly, we meet, we have a one-off encounter, and as a result of that, people come to know Jesus and friendships are built. Rarely is that the case. Rarely. It's over time that relationships are built and we see people coming into the family of God. And for that reason, I want to encourage you to consider, in terms of your general journey, being people of routine wherever you can. For example, if you get a favourite greengrocer, you know, grocery place, go there where you get your veggies and your fruit. If you have people that you can connect with at a service station, if you can find the same sort of people at the checkout counter so that you can encounter them on a regular basis, if you go to the same chemist and you build up a relationship, a doctor, and we go through all of the streams of life, certainly for me, what I have found over time that if I do that, relationship is established, friendships begin to get formed, and you have a chance of being able to take that relationship and those friendships to a new level. I've got a girl who's a student from overseas who at the Coles is generally on the checkout a late afternoon, and if I'm ever picking anything up on the way home from work and can get in there quickly, I will go through her, even if it's a longer queue. Why? One day she chucked the spack in front of me. She lost her cool. And I observed what was going down, and when I got there, I said, having a bad day, don't ask. And away the conversation built. And she, in terms of that conversation, has since then begun more and more to open up. I've invited her 3 times to services. I believe she's very close to coming. Very close to coming. But she hasn't said yes yet. But we trust she will. We've been working with a succession of grocery people. And Julie's built up a great relationship with the folk that we buy our fruit from and veg from in Welwyn Avenue there. And their lives light up, apart from the fact that we're good customers. But the reality is that when we get in there, we're able to build on relationship and friendship, and we have no doubt, and we're believing, that it's going to lead to something significant. God wants us to live in relationship and modernity, modern life, living in the kinds of cities that we live in today, has mitigated against what was a fabric of society for hundreds and thousands of years, where we were in community, in relationship, getting to know people at a deeper level. And so my encouragement is, while society has moved against us being able to do that, try and take some practical steps to move in there. And I've been journeying with Josh in his football. That means you build relationships. And at the moment, I've got a great dialogue going on from somebody that's just sort of associated with the club. And it's fantastic. We've met together a couple of times now and started to talk the stuff of faith. But it's been a 6 or 7 year journey to get to that point. All right, that's the norm. And understand that. So my encouragement is to look at it in this light. Now, 6 simple little principles for making relationships last. The first of those is you've got to be committed to a relationship for it to last. Would you agree with that? I mean, no relationship's going to develop into anything significant unless you're committed to it, is it? Proverbs 18:24, a man of many companions may come to ruin, but there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. I mean, if you have a whole heap of acquaintances and no real friendship, that's not a good thing. God wants us to move beyond the superficial. Now, the friend who sticks closer than the brother is picked up in other parts of Scripture, and we know to be the Lord. Our closest friend should be the Lord. But I want to suggest to you that God wants us to develop some friendships with people that will last. And they will only last if you begin to develop and spend time in a committed sense with some people in the journey of life. look at Proverbs 18:24 in the Good News Bible. Some friendships do not last, but some friends are more loyal than brothers. That's the reality. And you will come to a place where you will have some people that will be more meaningful, will be closer to you than perhaps even family members. And we know that there's challenges within family life from time to time. So the first thing, absolutely fundamental, if you're going to have a relationship that lasts, be committed. Second thing, be considerate. Be considerate. Proverbs 17:9, he who covers over an offence promotes love, but whoever repeats the matter separates close friends. You accept friends, warts and all. You don't enter into a relationship saying, I'm going to change this person. If you ever want to know who your friends are, you just need to make a mistake, don't you? Haven't you noticed that? Very interesting. I was in Parliament House for a prayer time just the week before. Not this last week, just gone, the one before that. And a man who's been under the microscope, he's made some unwise choices and decisions, but he's been very much in the public light, in tears. In tears in this small group of five or six of us, because he felt he was amongst people he could trust, but he has sensed total desertion. People who thought he thought were friends are not friends. They've deserted him. And he just feels abandoned by the party that he belongs to, abandoned by those. Now, it's wonderful when you're in that context and you've got people from both sides of Parliament, Labor, Liberal, and one independent, in there praying for this man. Christians on both sides of the house. Wonderful thing to be a part of that and to share with them. You're a good egg even if you are a little cracked, aren't you? Eh? My mum would never say throw out an egg just because it's cracked. Still could be a good egg. You just got to check it first. And we're all a little cracked, and we all have our foibles, and in true friendships, you've got to be considerate. You've got to cut one another a little bit of slack. Or if you look at the Message translation of our verse, overlook an offence and bond a friendship, fasten onto a slight and goodbye friend. All right? You've got to be prepared to be considerate in friendships. And I had a conversation with someone this week who we were reflecting on, somebody who's a part of my extended family. And this young man has been now in five churches, probably about 30 small groups, and unfortunately he just does not fit anywhere. And the reason is because this man wants everyone to conform to him and to think like him and to be like him and to do things like him. Well, the world's just not like that. You've got to be considerate of others. You've got to cut one another a little bit of slack. Can you do that for one another? Can we do that for one another here? I mean, we've got to be prepared to do that. I mean, you're stuck with me often like this, so you've got to cut me a little bit of slack when I don't do it right. And we've got to do that for one another. It's really important. Okay, the third thing is be confidential. Now, in a close friendship, in a building relationship, you've got to hold trust, able to keep a secret. Proverbs 11:13, a gossip betrays a confidence, but a trustworthy person, man, keeps a secret. Can you keep a secret? You good at doing that? Or look at Proverbs 16:28, a gossip separates close friends. A gossip separates close friends. Now, the quickest way to kill a friendship is not to keep a secret, or to keep something that's shared in confidence. And some of you know that we have regular team retreats. You're aware of that, aren't you? That as a team, we'll get away and we'll have prayer and we'll have heart-to-hearts. And on those retreats, we share our souls a little bit. We had a landmark time together late last year. David said he had a major problem with materialism and money. Rod shared how he had a major problem with gambling. Darren shared how he had a major problem with alcohol and was a closet drinker. And Tanya shared how she'd become addicted to drugs, particularly drugs that helped her sleep of a night. And I finally shared how I had a problem with gossip and couldn't wait for the right sermon to share it in. No, not really. But the reality is, we've got to keep confidences. You've got to. And nothing will destroy a friendship more than breaking confidence and not keeping things that have been shared with you. So a good friend is committed, they're considerate, and they keep confidences. Now, the fourth thing I want to suggest to you that Solomon talks about in the Proverbs is, in making friendships last, we've got to be candid. Got to be candid. Proverbs 27, verses 5 and 6. Better is open rebuke than hidden love. Wounds from a friend are wounds that can be trusted. Wounds that can be trusted. Give the facts when it's painful. You know, when you have a sesame seed in your teeth, or you're unzipped, or you got food in your mow, or popped a button. All of us have got blind spots, and if we think that we haven't got blind spots, we've got one. All right, just in saying that. The reality is we've got to, in a friendship, be open and call a spade a spade. And we all need people who say, you're blowing it in this. You're doing damage here. People say, it's none of my business to do that. Well, actually, in a friendship, it is. Because we're there for a person. Please listen. Friends make it their business because of their love for us to speak up and to be candid and to be open. If you're aware and care, then you're going to share. Listen to these two proverbs. An honest answer is the sign of a true friendship. An honest answer is like a kiss on the lips. Some of you like that translation better, don't you? All right, an honest answer is the sign of a true friendship. An honest answer is like a kiss on the lips. Can I give you just three suggestions about how you share something, how when you're candid with someone, how you go about it? You compliment somebody in public, but friends, you correct them in private. So if you've got something to be candid, be discreet. Don't do it in public. The other thing I'd say is you never rebuke a friend until you've proven that you're able to receive rebuke as well. So you don't correct unless you're the kind of person that can be corrected and have things pointed out to you. Criticism, correction is a two-way street. And when you're being candid, it's really important. The other thing I'd say is you correct them when they're up, not when they're down. Don't move in there to be candid with somebody when you know they're having a struggle. Just use a little sensitivity and be really open to the Spirit of the Lord at that point in terms of your sharing. You see, the pleasantness of one's friend springs from his earnest counsel. It's what Solomon says. So you're able to call a spade a spade. It was a great thrill for me this week to connect for a couple of hours with a friend of mine. We prayed together for 7 years, and then the Lord took him to another state. Now God's placed him back into a roving commission, and he's going to be moving around a little bit more, and we're going to be able to see each other a little more often. And we renewed a covenant in terms of friendship to connect whenever we're in the same locale, any major city that we're in together, that we will always connect and have time together, and that we will make a little more regular phone call. One of the things I loved about Tim was he had an ability to be candid with me and always leave me feeling okay. Know what I mean? He could call a spade and speak the truth. And it might be something that in many contexts could be hurtful. But coming from him and in the way that he gave it to us always left me feeling edified, feeling encouraged. Can I remind you again that this is how prophetic ministry is meant to function? Prophetic ministry is meant to edify, strengthen, comfort, build the body of Christ up, not tear them down. And anytime it's tearing them down in the New Testament context, it's not functioning how God wants it to. Plain and simple as that. And it's really important that we share positively. So do you have those kind of people in your life? You have people in your life who can be candid and call a spade and speak into your life, because it's a real example of friendship or the kind of relationship that's going to last. Now, next one is be constructive. Be constructive. As iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. One woman sharpens another. You see, real friends stimulate us to grow. They motivate you and help you to grow. They build you up. A righteous man chooses his friends carefully. And it's really important that we take this on board. Why? Because you will become like the people you spend the bulk of your time with. And that's why community was so important. That's why great families were so important. Because you spend your time in the right kind of community, in the right family context, you're going to become like the ethos, the group of people that you grow up in. And that's why we've got to really work hard these days in creating those sorts of opportunities. Let me ask you, is it easier to pull something down or to lift something up? Is it easier to pull something down or to lift something up? It's easier to pull something down, isn't it? You've got the force of gravity working with you. It's much harder and much more challenging to lift people or to lift something up. And we've got to work at that. We've really got to work at that. Teenagers and young people, I just want to say, be so careful here. As Paul says in Corinthians, bad company corrupts good character. 16 times through the book of Proverbs, Solomon warns about the kinds of friendship that we establish, the kind of people that we spend the bulk of our time with. Emerson said, a true friend is someone who helps you do what you can do, is someone who empowers you, someone who's constructive and making a positive contribution to your life. So one of the keys to knowing you are a person's real friend is when you get excited about their success. When you genuinely are thrilled at their progress. And the book of Proverbs says, to make friendships last, I need to be committed. I need to be considerate. I need to be confidential. I need to be candid, constructive. And the last I want to suggest to you is be consistent. In other words, you be a person who can be counted on. Proverbs 17:17 says, a friend loves at all time and a brother is born for adversity. I plucked out some one-liners for you that I thought you might enjoy. A genuine friend is in your corner when you are cornered. He sees you through when everybody else sees you through. He walks in when everybody else walks out. Real friends are like toothpaste. They come through in a tight squeeze. Real friends take sides. They don't say, I'm not taking sides. They're there for you. I'm convinced, as I said earlier, that many men don't have some close friends. Recently, have been doing a stock take here. I think at times I tried to overcompensate in terms of friendships and tried to expect too much out of a relationship, because for many reasons, over years of my formative years, I was never able to form a lasting friendship. Dad, a longest stint in a church up until the time that I got married was 3 years, and that's in my experience. He had a longer ministry at Wembley. Wembley Church of Christ, but that was when I was born, and I only managed to get 3 of those years in my early years. But it was very interesting as you move your way through. The reality is I changed schools 10 times in 12 years. So I was never able to form friendships, and we were changing churches constantly. And when Dad in 69 came to South Perth, I said, mate, when he'd left in 71, I'm staying. You can go, but at that stage, at 18, 19 years of age, I said, I'm just staying put. I want to stay with this youth group. I want to stay with these group of people. And Mum and Dad gave me their blessing at that particular point of time. But I was just used to superficiality and not going deeper. And I am thankful that over the last many years, God has brought significant men into my life. And recently I just sat down and I looked at this and I've got 7 men who at some point in their life and have reaffirmed it recently have said, regardless of anywhere I am on the planet, if I am in strife, if I am in need, they will drop everything and come to my aid. And friends, that is such an encouragement. Such an encouragement. And I just know there are many of you here today, men and women alike, who don't have significant friendships of people who are committed to you for the journey of life. The number one reason people become Christians is because they have friendships that last. To have friendships that last, they've got to have friends, people who will model these sorts of things. I have one man that I'm building relationship with who's outside of the Lord, and I'm trying to be there for him. It's a challenge. It'll never be until he crosses the line all that it could be, because the spiritual dimension's not there yet. But God wants us to grow in our friendships and in our relationships together. And if the number one reason people become Christians is because of relationship and family, friends, we've got to be developing those sorts of relationships. And I don't know about you. I don't know how we can come to church week after week without inviting others that we've built a relationship to come to church. I don't know how we can do it. If we discover the cure for cancer, what are we going to do? Keep it to ourselves? I mean, we've got to share it. And I dream of us increasingly becoming a church where meaningful relationships are formed and where people can be trusted. Please, please grow in your capacity to be a friend. And make sure, if you are in marriage, that you are making your spouse your best friend in the human sense, that you are developing intimacy and closeness there, because all of these things apply. So as I wrap things up this morning, I want to suggest a couple of things to you. On the basis that Jesus is our closest friend, on the basis that Jesus is the only one that we can ultimately trust and take everything to, I want to encourage you to find one person to build a close relationship with. I want you to be reminded of Jesus' words. You love God and you love your neighbor. You've got to have a neighbor that you love. You've got to build friendship. Find one. Build a relationship with one. Begin to pray together. Begin to share your heart with them. Open up and build friendship. And I would suggest and encourage you to find a relationship with somebody who doesn't know the Lord. And begin to build relationship with them. Purely to be their friend, but because of our love for the Lord, that's going to be something that's going to flow on and flow over and influence their life. Encourage you to do those two things. These are simple, practical steps that help us grow in relationship. Can we bow together in prayer, a time of reflection? Are you committed in relationships? Are you considerate? Can you be trusted? Are you confidential? Are you candid? Can you speak the truth in love at the right time and encourage people? Are you constructive? And are you growing in your consistency, that you're there for people? We can't do this with a multitude of people, friends. We don't have the time. Never have. We see relationships through the scripture. I see Paul and Timothy. You might throw in Barnabas. You might throw in Titus. But Paul and Timothy was the closest working relationship and endured over time. We see Jonathan and David. We see Jesus. He had the 12, but and he had 3. And out of the 3, he was even closer to John. they're relationships of significance that you are building and developing, that you can apply these principles to. Because God wants us to enjoy healthy relationships together. Father, I just want to thank you for the privilege that we've had of spending this time together today. I thank you for your word and this word, which is so practical. But Lord, I know that there would be men and women who there's an ache in their heart. They would long for some significant friendship, long for significant relationship. And Father, I pray that you would lead them as to who they can establish this with, both within and outside of the family, the church family. And I pray that you would meet their need. Lord, you know the longing of our hearts. And I thank you that you're able to guide us and lead us in these practical arenas. Lord, open this up to us. By your Spirit, open up opportunities. Help us to connect at deeper levels. And I want to thank you, Lord, that you modeled for us what it means to be a true friend. Help us to increasingly reflect your qualities with one another and with those that we're in deep friendship. Help us to be inclusive, not exclusive. Help us to be open to embracing others and continue to shape us into becoming more and more the people you've called us to be. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for a simple and practical word this morning. Encourage us as we seek to make our relationships last. In Jesus' name I pray.